morning and welcome to the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
What's up, Ailish?
It is Tuesday. It is brisk. Today's a day where you will warm up your vehicles if you're listening. You don't have a garage. Get out there, bundle up.
I thought of you while I was trying to warm up this morning.
I thought of you when I went down to my parking garage, which stays at a 13-degree temperature, I looked.
Is it a perfect 13?
I think that must be parking garage temperature.
It's a nice...
The thermostat's in my vehicle.
I love a parking garage temperature.
It's not
in
too warm.
Winter.
It's just
even
perfect.
In the summer, it's always nicer than it is outside.
Yeah.
Always.
So I go down there this morning and I thought, wow, I wonder if Justin had to go out and warm his car up. What if one day you can't start it? We're getting, it's a chilly week right now, minus 11.
The power of technology. Do the show from home. Although I'm resisting that. I'm trying to get through the entire winter without us resorting to that. And we're almost there.
Well, you might have to, what if you have to
Last
jump start your car
today.
In the morning? Do you have the ability?
I mean, by myself?
I guess.
Wouldn't I need another vehicle?
I didn't know how many vehicles you have.
Well, I personally only have one.
Okay. Knock on a neighbor's door at 4:30.
No, I don't think... I don't think that would happen.
Do you think CAA comes that quick in the morning?
Probably would. It probably would, but it wouldn't be fast.
You'd be late.
I do the show from home.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I'd have to give up on the dream of getting through this winter without having to pull one of those cards.
Well, you might have to do that Friday or Saturday because a low of minus 24 approaching.
Mm-hmm.
Not great temperature to get out to play shinny, folks. Just a heads up. Maybe change those
plans. Unless you're Frank Saravalli and Jasper.
What's the Jasper temperature? You think it's that cold?
He was saying it was in the negative 20, wasn't he?
Oh, I guess it was. That's too bad.
It's not warm there.
He's bundled. But I feel like if you go to Jasper, you understand. You're probably going, you know, you're going to hit the slopes.
You're a little acclimatized. That sun was shining, though. As long as the sun's out, it doesn't matter.
That's true.
Sun's obviously not out when we're getting up. It's a little tough in the morning. But I feel like this... What, there's always like every October, November, we get these warnings. It's going to be the worst winter on record.
I already saw that for spring.
Oh, yeah.
The Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah, we've already got warnings.
Worst spring coming ever.
What does worst spring mean? The rainiest? The coldest? What does
I don't
that
know,
mean?
But it's the worst on the.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I would like to know how the Farmer's Almanac or whatever works. Like, is it a collection
they're
of farmers
pulling,
that meet up?
They're pulling tarot cards, is what they're doing.
How do you predict that far in advance what our spring is going to look like? And I have one more bone to pick. When I go on my check the weather in the morning, right now it says it's minus 11. Why do I have to scroll down to see what it feels like? Why don't you just tell me what it feels like in the actual temperature? Because I'm going to get prepared for right now it feels like minus 17. So why wouldn't it just say minus 17? Why do you have to play with me? Why are you lying to me? Just tell me the temperature.
Are you actually, like, are you looking for a real answer or are you just complaining?
I understand what the wind chill is.
But, like, was it windy today? I don't even remember.
Why
like,
does
there's
it,
a considerable
but it
difference.
It feels like minus 17, but it's minus 11. So just tell me it's minus 17.
Okay. I mean, like, does it get to the point where it's 17, 11, doesn't matter? You're just throwing on your warmest jacket
anyway? I think
anyway?
The difference between minus 11 and minus 17
like,
is
no
significant.
Jacket? Do you have, no. like, do you have, like, you know, a spectrum
it
of jackets?
It might be another layer. It might be a neck warmer, different level of warmth than my hat choice or my mittens.
Well, you're comfortable in your plus 13 garage, so.
But I just don't get why they have to have two different temperatures listed. If it feels like minus 17, then tell me it's minus 17.
I understand. Although if they like switched it, you'd throw the world into chaos because everyone would be thinking, oh, that's the real temperature. It must be a little colder.
But that's what it feels like.
And then everyone would be not
that is the real temperature, though.
That's what it feels like. But people make the assumption that it may be colder based on what they normally have been receiving all their life, which is the actual temperature rather than what it feels like.
So we should just
what I'm
fully convert to
sometimes
the
we're
temperature
just,
it feels like on your skin.
Sometimes just the way we've done things, if you change that, it will throw the world into chaos.
Okay, that seems a bit dramatic.
Time-honored way of doing things. Sometimes you just want to keep it that way.
Big weather's lying to us.
Big weather's always lying to us.
Well, apparently Alex in Hamilton says Farmer's Almanac is based on sunspots and historical data.
Mm-hmm. Does it have like the variable of climate change or no?
Does it have the feels like, or is it going to tell us it is the specific temperature?
I can't wait for the worst spring on record. I can't wait for that social media post that I see that's promising me that I'm going to be miserable throughout spring.
It already says prepare yourselves, but all right, everybody, prepare yourself for what feels like minus 17, but really it's only minus 11. So it changes your life significantly this morning.
Just be safe out there.
Okay. Well, the trade deadline is heating up. Bo Horvat, the first domino to fall. Last evening, I was out strolling the streets, headed to the grocery store, when breaking news comes across my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Horvat traded to the New York Islanders in exchange for Anthony Beauvillier.
Yeah.
Atu Ratti. And a conditional first-round pick in 2023,
yep,
which is
top 12 protected.
There's a little info on this. And the Canucks will retain 25% of Bo Horvat's cap hit. He's obviously been the number one top of the trade target board for quite a while. This kind of felt like it came out of nowhere, though. There was no mumblings and rumblings. We had Frank on, crickets.
Yeah, typical Lou cone of silence, right?
So that guy's amazing.
He does his work out of everybody else's ear, I guess. Where do you want to start with this?
Okay. I think initially I was surprised that it was the Islanders because, I mean, at this point I was surprised it happened anyway at this random evening in January when there had been no conversation about it yet. I guess, why the New York Islanders?
Why the New York Islanders, I guess, from the perspective of who is important. I think why the New York Islanders, for the perspective of the Vancouver Canucks, is where that first-round draft pick might be selected. So
that's the most significant part of this trade.
Yeah.
Most likely.
For sure. I mean, Anthony Beauvillier is a talented player. He's not having a particularly good year. He's an unrestricted free agent in two summers. He gets paid $4 million plus. It's not exactly like a premium asset, although he's a pretty good player. I think he's more of a trade chip. Atu Ratti, not necessarily can't miss. So really the importance of this trade is the first round draft pick. And if you're looking at who might want to be involved in a Bo Horvat trade, I guess the most valuable first round draft pick, unless there's a trade or someone owns someone else's pick, in terms of teams that would be in the mix, in the running for Bo Horvat, I think the Islanders have the most valuable first round pick. And I think that is important. Now, it says that's a nice thing for Vancouver, unless it's in the top 12 and then they have to wait on it. But then next year it won't be protected at all. So maybe it'd be even better. But that's besides the point. If you're looking at a trade partner, if it's Boston or Carolina or whoever, you're looking at maybe the 28th overall pick, the 29th, 30th, 31st. And that's not as valuable as the 13th, which is very, very possible because the New York Islanders, despite thinking that they're a pretty good team that's a couple years removed from an Eastern Conference final, two straight Eastern Conference finals, they're not that good. They only have 30 games left. They're pretty comfortably outside of postseason position. I think 7 points out of the Metropolitan and a couple points out of the wild card, but they're running out of time. You only have 30 games left. You have 30 games to get Bo Horvat up and running and make a charge and leapfrog multiple teams. So I think there's a good position, or a good chance rather, that this works out perfectly for Vancouver in that they get like a top 15 pick, maybe 12th, 13th, 14th overall. Not 12th, I guess. 13th, 14th, 15th overall, which would be a pretty good return.
Especially
on
with this draft class, which is supposed to be pretty deep. It's a top one, two, and nobody else.
And I think that was the most important thing. We need to get a high draft pick. We need to add to our draft class in 2023, a strong draft. And I think they found enough desperation out of a bad team, and I think the Islanders are a bad team at this point, that they might have gotten the most, in terms of all the assets that might be available, that pick from the Islanders might be the best one that they could have got.
And so when you look at the Islanders, I think you have to dig deeper about who they're in competition with for a playoff spot. On the surface, they're 2 points back, but in reality, they're about 6 points back of the Sabres with the pace that they're playing. You said with the lack of games they have left, there's a much stronger Panthers team right behind them nipping at their heels. Their chances of making the playoff were 14% before the trade, and they were bumped to 19%. So that it's Bo Horvat, but that's not a knock on Bo Horvat. It's a knock on the situation that they're in. And the other part of this is the trade or the pick that they gave up, if they, it's, so it's top 12 protected, but it would convert to the 2024 class if it falls outside the top 12. I don't really know what the 2024 draft class looks like, I'll be honest. Probably decent. But
either way, there's going to be good players available.
But I do think it's interesting because if they miss out, they could use, like, that trade chip can be flipped, right?
What do you mean?
Like, you could use that trade, or sorry, that that draft pick to flip if you're not making the playoffs as well. Like, can they not trade that draft pick moving forward?
I don't think so, because it has to be in play for this year. If it lands at number 13 overall, it belongs to Vancouver. So I don't think they can, now that the condition is on it, to utilize it in any way. It's kind of stuck in limbo.
Okay, so I didn't know. I was wondering.
I could
about
be wrong there,
the
but
situation
I
with that.
I doubt they can. Because what happens if Vancouver's like, hey, that's our pick at 14? Like, what's that was the condition?
Well,
on the
if the pick goes to Vancouver, it'll be the 4 straight years without getting a first round draft pick for them.
For the Islanders.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's tough. And that's tough if you're trying to build a win now team, which is why you bring in Bo Horvat, right? Where's your window? I'm just curious. Like, what?
Well, they're desperately, desperately, desperately trying to make something of this season. And if they don't, like, there's a distinct possibility that this is a complete and abject failure on the part of the New York Islanders. If they, regardless of whether or not they make the playoffs, let's say they do have the 10th worst record in the NHL, they don't have to give a pick to the Vancouver Canucks this season. There's a chance that they're worse the following season after not retaining Bo Horvat on a long-term deal. So there's a possibility that they get nothing out of this season but 30 games of Bo Horvat that ultimately mean nothing. They do keep this pick but are worse the following season and have to give up a pick later on when they're deeper into a perceived rebuild or teardown. And they've given up Anthony Beauvillier and Adu Ratti. So there's a distinct, but there's a lot of pressure now on Lou Lamoriello to retain Bo Horvat. Now, if Lou has done anything over the course of his career, it's retain the guys that he trades for. It seems like everyone in this long run of spending first round picks, he has retained. Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Cal Palmieri, the list goes on of players that he's been able to acquire and then keep in Long Island. So I feel like there's a reasonable chance. However, if you're Bo Horvat, why wouldn't you go to free agency? Why wouldn't you see what's out there? Why wouldn't you use these 30 games as like a test ground to see if you actually think there's potential on Long Island? I don't feel like it's a foregone conclusion that he will sign unless the drawer already has a contract signed.
You can't.
Like, there's a possibility that he's like, hey, we're only making this deal if you sign times 10.
I cannot
later.
Imagine this. Like, I think it's a non-starter for me. If you haven't found a way, I know the Vancouver Canucks said that we're not allowing anyone to talk to Bo Horvat. You're not making this trade without knowing that you're going to sign this guy. No chance.
You may have.
No chance.
You think a deal's done?
I think that there is a secret or unwritten deal. You're making this trade without knowing if you're going to get Bo Horvat long term. I don't think you're that desperate. That would be a horrible, horrible decision.
I completely agree. It would be a
But I don't even think there's a possibility personally that
There's a possibility.
Oh my God. If that's a situation it's a disaster, Justin.
It's possible, is all I'm saying. Like we don't know that there's a contract signed. It would be a massive.
That's the most risky thing I've heard in ages in the NHL.
Well, that's what the deal is.
I can't believe it.
We don't know for sure.
The expected contract was starting with a number 8, and that's why the Vancouver Canucks weren't interested.
Either way, they're going to have to pay up, and either way, the New York Islanders are probably not that talented, not good enough to add Bo Horvat and automatically be a player in the Eastern Conference again. I feel like they had their little time in the sun there for a while, and they stretched themselves thin. They traded a bunch of picks. They have absolutely no prospects. They traded away guys like Devontae's. Like they ran into the cost of the salary cap killed them. They were competitive for 2 years, but they tried so hard to try to make that work that their team sort of started falling apart at the seams. So the Islanders either way are in a tough spot. It's nightmare central if Bo Horvat decides to leave in free agency, though.
I truly saw this and my brain stopped that there's no way that they would make this trade without having some sort of unwritten thing.
It's fair.
But in terms of his fit with the Islanders, this is what they need. They have no offense. Obviously, this guy's bringing in, what is he, one of the top 10 scorers in the league this year. If he can sign long-term, that's a really great fit for your organization. He's a wonderful leader. We know that. He's, like, Vancouver Canucks are losing someone who not only is a great player, but a great person. Like, they're now without one of the faces of their franchise who dealt with all this stuff very admirably.
Horvat is essentially what every team would want.
For sure.
So in that case, it's a great acquisition.
And he will be a good fit on this team.
For however long it lasts.
Which I hope is a long time, because it would be...
Do you, though? You don't want this to blow up in the Islanders' face?
Sure,
you're
I like
showing
chaos.
Contrition for whatever
I like
reason.
Chaos, but I just can't get myself there in terms of believing that would be the case. But sure, I mean, give us lots of information.
As much as it optically could look bad on the Islanders, and as much as it's a decent deal for Vancouver, the optics still aren't great for the Canucks.
No.
Like, they traded away the guy who wears the letter for them, the guy who's having a career year, the guy who should be 1A, 1B in terms of building around. It's been a really brutal season for the Canucks. Like, it's really been bad.
Right.
PR nightmare. But this might be worse than the Boudreau thing and everything else that's happened this season. They traded away the captain of their team,
But you knew that was going to happen when they signed a contract for somebody else.
I understand that, like, we knew this was coming. It still is awful. It still really sucks if you're a fan of the Vancouver Canucks that you said goodbye to Bo Horvat and you got a good return and whatever, or good-ish return, whatever, an acceptable return, whatever you want to call it. You still traded away your captain who, like, should never have been a trade candidate in the first place. Never in a million years. They made so many mistakes leading up to this point. And yeah, I guess you found the right trade partner, but I hope that shouldn't help you sleep at night if you're running the Vancouver Canucks right now.
They said that they're prepared to do major surgery. This is major surgery. And the way that this conversation went, we're going to play some clips. They did not shut the door on this being the first of many moves they're going to make. So I think you have to look at the big picture, too. If they go through the rest of the trade deadline, this is all they do, then that's even worse of a failure. But if they start to really ship out some players that they're talking about and they go full rebuild mode, well, maybe you're salvaging a little bit. When I said that they could flip the trade, I mean the draft pick, I meant that they could flip Bo Horvat.
Oh.
If they wanted to.
Well, Lou's not doing that.
Well, Lou might not have a contract signed for Bo Horvat, Justin.
But like,
what if they're...
He wouldn't make the deal if Horvat says, I'm not signing. You know what I mean? Like, Bo Horvat...
That's
probably,
what I just said, and you didn't believe that.
No, I think there's a chance. It's just like, we'll see. Like, it's no promises. You know what I mean? Like,
and
you can trade for me.
What if they're not in the playoff picture and Bo doesn't want to play there and they can get a better return from at the trade deadline?
But
how sneaky is that?
But Lou's going to hold on hope. Like, I just could never see that happening. Lou's going to try his best to try and retain Horvat. And Horvat giving any information to Lou hurts his value, right? You want as many people involved and available as possible. If Lou says, hey, we'll give you 11, Horvat goes to free agency and says, well, Lou's offering me 11, so what are you going to give me?
I think there's if you believe that there's a chance that they haven't created this under the surface contract, then there's certainly a chance that that second part of the chaos could happen.
Well, maybe that would be remarkable.
It would be.
I think there's a greater chance that Beau Villiers gets flipped.
This guy's been available all the time.
Has he?
Yes. Everyone that was reporting on this trade said that, you know, he's not been a guy that was ever out of trade. Like, he's been available.
Well, there's only like one acceptable outcome to Beau Villiers' tenure in Vancouver, and that's a trade out of Vancouver. Like,
He's viewed as a top nine forward.
They have to do major surgery. He's overpaid right now as a top nine forward. He makes over $4 million. He only scored, I think, 9 goals this year. Like, he's not good enough to be a $4 million forward on a team that's rebuilding. However, if you retain half of his money and dangle him, he might be worth something really, really good in the trade market. Plus, you'd get 2 years if you're a trade partner on Beau Villiers. But it seems like, oh, they're so proud of Anthony Beau Villiers. Patrick Alvin's like, yeah, we're getting 3 first round picks in return for Bo Horvat. It's like that. No, it's not like that. Beau Villiers is not that as an asset right now. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2 summers. You should be trying to trade him and turn him into a first round pick or something of that nature, a quality prospect, because this is about major surgery. It's not about trying to replace a fraction of Bo Horvat's production right now through Beauvillier. So if there's any second trade candidate here, I think it'd be or should be Beauvillier before Horvat.
So Ratty is someone that was viewed as a pretty great prospect and hasn't had the most prolific starts to his NHL career, but he would be, if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan, they are more excited about the potential for him than the current status of Beauvillier.
I think that's true. I also think he's kind of the weakest link. We're going to have Randeep Janda on later, and I want to ask him to like rank the assets got in return.
Well, it's draft pick, Ratty, Beauvillier.
I think it might be Beauvillier, Ratty, because I don't think Ratty's all that impressive as a prospect. He was highly touted. He slipped in draft boards. He's, you know, an acceptable guy, but what does he project to be? I think he projects to be something less than Beauvillier, to be perfectly honest. Again, I'm not a draft expert, so he may turn out to be something. But I just feel like, okay, what are the hallmarks of the trade like this? Like, what do you need in return for a star player? Yeah, it's a first-round pick. Yeah, it's like a high-quality prospect. And yeah, it's probably something, a young player who's playing right now who might not necessarily be like a cornerstone player to build around. Those are kind of the three hallmarks. I think they've got that with Beauvillier, one. They certainly got the first-round pick. But is Ratty that prospect you want to build and think you can build around in the future? I'm not quite sure.
He was once viewed as, in literally these words, a generational prospect.
And but since, just because you were that,
that's why I said
you never
were.
Show that. Like, sometimes you're just clinging to hope. 100%. And I feel like there's a little clinging to hope thing happening.
But in just for perspective, he has a safe bet to be someone that plays an NHL career.
Okay.
But he's not the generational prospect that he was viewed at. But that's why this comment last night, Patrick Alvin saying that they got basically three first rounders back in this haul, and we're going to play that clip and you can hear it from him himself, is a part of the reason why maybe you think this is a bad look as well for the Canucks.
You could look at it that we got actually three first rounders back here. I think it was important for us to get a first-round pick back. We got a young prospect in Adu Ratty. And again, we're getting a 25-year-old young player in Antonio Beauvillier back here that been playing pretty consistent for New York Islanders over the last couple of years. I've seen him a lot in my previous organization in the playoffs here. Like the details he plays with, his tenacity, his puck hunting. I think he will fit in well here in our top six group on the left side.
That's just trying to really convince yourself that you're happy with your trade.
Yeah, trying to convince the fan base, trying to convince yourself maybe more than the fan base.
Basically three first rounders.
No, I mean, I think given the circumstances, they should be like fairly confident and happy with what they got back. Like Boston's not given more than that. I don't think a team that's realistically has intention on winning the Stanley Cup this year was going to give more than that. And it's hard to because you don't have a first-round pick more valuable than the Islanders. I'll give Lou Lamoriello some credit. Like, he gets it done. Like, he finds a way to make that deal. He finds a way to make his team better. He said, I think, 4 or 5 days ago, like, this is all on me. I didn't build a good enough team. It's not the coach's fault. It's not the player's fault. It's my fault. I need to make this team better. He clearly did. They're going to be a better team over the next 30 games, at least you'd think, with Bo Horvat coming in. But even then, even if they're better, even if they make the playoffs, even if they cough up that pick and it ends up being 18th overall and it's not as bad in hindsight, realistically, what are they going to do? They're not good enough.
I think this move reeks a little bit of desperation for
It's a desperate Lou. Team finding a desperate team.
He's been taking a lot of heat because he's not far removed from having somewhat of a successful season with his team. He said he was going to explore hockey trades and look to like bolster the roster, and he has done little of that. They've got the worst offensive season in the league right now, one of them. 31 ranked power play as they enter the All-Star break. That's something you've addressed now with Bo Horvat, whether he stays for 30 days or longer.
30 days or longer. Yeah. I don't want to say there's like a bit of selfishness to it, but Lou's also an older guy. I don't know how long Lou's going to do this for, but does Lou want to see down what is probably most appropriate for this roster right now, for this organization? Like, does he want to go through a rebuild, which is probably, again, what this team should be doing after a kick at it for a couple seasons, but ultimately sort of the exodus of talent and a little bit of that hope going down the drain? Like, it seems like he's just trying to hold on and like, okay, we've got a couple more years of competitiveness here, but in reality, what's best for the New York Islanders is probably tearing it down a little bit rather than trying to build it back up.
Which all-star team will Bo Horvat play for?
I'm not sure.
This happened with John Scott. Or he was, he had to decide.
He was traded, right? Didn't they dump him off in, like, Buffalo or something
right,
like
so
that?
Right, so John Scott.
He ended up playing for the Pacific Division
anyway. That's right. So
I guess he'll probably
set the
do
precedent
the same thing.
Where he's going to play?
We didn't really need the Horvat trade to tell us that the All-Star game and format was ridiculous, but it kind of does underscore it a little bit. Like, also, Matty Beniers not going, and now you don't have anyone from Seattle when the whole point of these flawed rosters
right.
is that everybody has to be represented. It's all very silly. He's probably going to play for the Pacific. It's not going to be weird because who cares, but it's just another, another layer to it. He
it's
was also, speaking of funny, he was told at Disney World that he's being traded.
A lot of weird things happened with this. The timing, the fact that he's going to be an all-star for
the happiest place
the
on
Pacific.
Earth to get out of Vancouver.
I just want to play him one more clip here. Obviously he probably knew coming down to the wire here that he would be traded, but this summer he thought that maybe he'd be a Canuck for life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. In the summertime and even at the beginning of the year, I thought I was going to be a Canuck. And, I thought I was going to be a Canuck for life, to be honest with you. And, just things didn't work out that way. And, it led me to this. So, I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that, the New York Islanders really believe in me and I'm proud to be a New York Islander now. I can't wait.
Spoken like a good leader.
Sounds like a guy who may or may not sign an extension.
Okay. Curious to get everybody's take. 590-590 is the first domino to fall. I don't know if there's New York Islanders fans that listen to the Fan Morning Show. If you are, welcome. Let us know how you're feeling about the trade. I know there's Vancouver listeners, maybe not up at this hour, but if you're podcasting, we're going to continue to break this down. But let us know your thoughts. I think I've seen a lot of, this is a lose-lose take. Never really see a team lose both trades. So if that's the boat you're in, let me know why. I'm curious. We can read those throughout the show, but it's the first thing to happen, the first trade chip
to fall. Are you calling it a lose-lose?
No, I think we just laid out some reasons
it?
Why.
What are you calling it?
I would say underwhelming.
For who?
Both teams. I think there's a lot of questions. It's extremely, extremely disappointing if Bo Horvat doesn't sign. That is like a major failure.
Yeah.
And I don't think Vancouver Canucks are jumping out of their seats at the return. There's still some potential with what happens with that draft pick. So maybe an unwritten, underwhelming story at this moment.
I think if you eliminate the context of Vancouver getting to this point, like you had to trade your captain.
Yeah,
having
that
a career
sucks,
season.
But
if you had to do it.
You did it.
I think you got what you needed in return.
Sure. Okay, so maybe it's a win for Vancouver.
I'll give a slight edge to Vancouver. We're
great.
Deciding a win.
But you weren't pumped out like when you saw this last night. What a steal!
We did 25 minutes on it. Like it's definitely an interesting deal.
It's a deal that happened.
It's two teams that are not operating necessarily at an extremely high level, but found each other and gave us something to really chew into.
All right, Raptors Suns. Let's move on. A 114-106 loss last night. They're now 2-2 on the road trip, just sitting right in the middle. Keeping it.
Yeah, that was kind of the swing game, wasn't it? Like it could have been
a swing game at this point. To just go back and forth, win, win, lose, win, 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 lose.
Yeah, but looking at the schedule, looking at this road trip, if they had stolen that game 3-1, and you got Houston and Utah still on the schedule, mm-hmm. you're talking about like, oh man, what a road trip! Like, what a road trip for the Toronto Raptors. Maybe they have something. Maybe they have a second win, a second half in front of them. But then you lose the game. It's 2-2. And it's like, can we actually make up any ground on this road trip? I guess technically you could pick up a game. You could still be plus 500 on a 7-game road trip. Maybe you win the next three. That seems a little bit unlikely, but disappointing that game was so close. It was in their hands. It was within their grasp, but they couldn't execute like Phoenix did late game.
Well, it was a winnable game, and that's why it's disappointing, because they lost it multiple times. There's 16 lead changes, back and forth games. Started the game with 11 giveaways in the first half of the game. It's pretty tough to put yourself down that opportunity. They couldn't hit some of the big shots. But it was in grasp, and it looked to me like a team that played 3 games in 4 nights in the middle of a West Coast road trip. There's a little bit of fatigue when it came
especially
down.
Especially for Pascal Siakam.
Exactly.
Like, watching him in the fourth quarter, is like, he has absolutely no pop. And that wasn't a problem for, like, that wasn't a problem for Fred. It wasn't a problem for Scotty. Seemed like it was a big issue for Siakam, which was a little disconcerting.
Yeah, and give him credit. Like, this is a lot going on physically, probably emotionally as well, to have conversations about your future and your team and which direction you're going and players being rumored and this and that. And we'll talk about OG, who Michael Grange sat down with and had a good conversation about what he's hearing and if it affects him or not. Now there's conversation about if Nick Nurse has an, you know, ability to lead this team past next year anyway. So yeah, there's a little bit of, not an excuse, but just an understanding of where they're at. But the game was in grasp. You didn't win it. Now you're 2-2. The question remains, where are you going? But once again, bright shining star, Precious Achiuwa. And he's really stepped into this role and has grasped, just like Ilya Samsonov, grasped the net. He's really come in since his injury and proved that he could be a significant part of this Raptors future. With OG out right now, you start to think, is this a realistic, not that he's going to fill OG's shoes. Like, I'm not saying that.
It's like you can't have a Precious discussion right now without mentioning, okay, OG's
of course,
future.
But if they're tied together. Which,
and whether there's some redundancy there and whether this opens the door for Precious. It's like,
well, I think you can.
Why couldn't both of these coexist and work together and be dominant forces on one team?
Sure. But that means that are you not going to tear it all down, or you're going to tear it partially down? Like, I'm just curious if OG right now is very much hotly
he's the trade chip du jour right now.
Right. And so if
that's important,
but the way that Precious is playing, maybe you feel more comfortable in having these conversations about moving OG, who's now not playing for the rest of this road trip, by the way. His wrist is injured enough that he's going to get an MRI when he's back home. Precious has another little stretch here to continue to shine and prove that, you know, he can be at least a motivating part of the Raptors' future. And so maybe that makes you feel like, oh, OG, we could get something really big for OG. Remember the rumored trade packages? Like, if you're at that point where you feel comfortable a little bit with Precious Achiuwa, maybe you're exploring that more.
If you believe you have someone on an OG trajectory, which I think is, like, Precious is a young guy. He's unbelievably athletic. I don't know if he projects to be the same type of player. Like, is he going to be that 3-point threat that you want to kick the ball out to? Like, oh, they're different offensive skill sets. Like, I want Precious in the paint. I want OG pretty much the extent of the offense I want from him is knocking down open threes. So I think they are different. However, we're talking about, like, that kind of unicorn type player that can guard multiple positions, be a force in other ways, in ways other than scoring the basketball. Like, I think there are some parallels. I do think they're completely different, and I would love to see them coexist.
Well, that's why OG is like a unicorn right now. Everybody wants him. He's a specific type of player.
That's the thing, is, like, ultimately, I think OG will decide if OG gets dealt. Do you feel like that?
No. What, do you think he can just say, no, I don't want to get traded?
Well, I just feel like
I would be disappointed if OG's the one to controlling if he gets traded or not.
The OG conversation has been centered around, or at least rooted in, perceived or legitimate unhappiness, right? End of last year, we're talking about it. This year, whispers of it. Mm-hmm. Is OG happy with his role? Whatever. Is he happy with coach? Whatever it is. And again, I feel like he's a little disillusioned about role. Like, what do you want? You want to be the number one option offensively? You want to be the number three option offensively on a team that, like, Fred, Scotty, Siakam? Like, you're not going to be that guy. who's going to be a top option scoring the basketball.
But it could be elsewhere.
However, your skill set doesn't even befit a player of that. Like, what do you think is going to happen if you go to New Orleans? Think you're going to be the top two scoring option? No. They're going to want you to play 3 and D. That's what he is. But anyway, it goes back to if there is unhappiness, if it's just like, this isn't working, then they have to make that deal. If there's like, but if he says, no, I want to be here, like, I'm really confident in this group, then you might think twice about it, right? So I think ultimately he does hold some power in that. But the power is what could be coming back in return. That's why it would be worth being like, hey, you know what? We'll give you what you want because we can get equal value in return for you, or at least we believe we can turn it into equal value for you. So I think like how he is coexisting within the Raptors ecosystem is important. And I don't know if we know the extent of his unhappiness or his happiness or where he views himself in the picture moving forward. But I don't think you should look at Precious and be like, oh, we have our next OG, so let's get rid of OG.
No, I don't agree with that either. There is no next OG, but there is someone that has been flourishing with more opportunity, is very young as well, I think is now starting to live up to maybe expectations or exceed them in the moment of what he's been playing with an opportunity. So I think it just softens possibly the blow of losing OG in a season that seems to be lost at this point, where he is one of the most highly valued prospects approaching the trade deadline.
Yep.
So all of those things considered, maybe you feel a little bit more comfortable getting the Donovan Mitchell trade package for OG because of Precious Achiuwa. And I feel like I cannot remove them from the same conversation.
Whether OG stays...
What if Precious was playing horribly?
Well, then I'm thinking get rid of OG and then get rid of Fred and get rid of Gary.
So it's changed like, your perspective.
It's not just because of Precious, but like if it's clear this team just has like four capable assets total, like that's not enough. So you need to start again. But if you have, let's, you know, maybe we're in the 5-6 that you can build around and you can convince yourself you can get talent elsewhere and you can make best use of draft picks that might be coming your way, then yeah, I think there's more hope for, you know, nurturing the current core group and what it might have over the next couple seasons. I still think it comes down to like a want, right? I think the Raptors culture means something. I feel like if the players that want to be there and want to fight for each other and all that stuff, I think that all is very, very important still. But regardless of whether or not Precious emerges or OG really wants to be here and wants to play his role and the role that's best for him as a basketball player, you still need more. Because guess who just burned you last night? DeAndre Ayton was the most powerful force in the paint and something the Raptors couldn't handle themselves with, whether it was Scotty or Precious or whoever who was in that role. So you still need more. Precious doesn't solve all your problems. Precious plus OG doesn't solve all your problems. You need more. How are you going to get more? I think you got to look at every case individually, and then you got to look at the whole group. And I think that's why there's so many options on the table, because there's not an easy fix. There's not an easy solution. There's not an easy path to choose to go down right now. However, I think OG can make it easy for you if he just says, you know what, this isn't for me.
So we have some information about what OG says or doesn't say. Maybe you have to read between the lines, but Shams from The Athletic wrote an article about the latest vibes around the Raptors, saying that, I mean, this is a hilarious sentence. They have yet to determine if they will be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. The expectation is the team will wait until the trade deadline to make their decision. Yeah, kind of what we felt. But there's something about Nick Nurse's future, which I don't think we'll fully get into right now. We're going to have our buddy Vivek on later. But I want to just, since we're talking about OG, read the OG stuff from Shams and Michael Grange. So OG rumors continue to swirl. The Knicks and the Suns among several suitors interested in OG. And then Michael Grange got an opportunity to sit down with OG on Friday to talk about, you know, obviously they hear the rumors. Like, obviously they're online. He was asked, is there anything to the rumors that he wants out of Toronto? OG says, no, it is what it is. Grange, is he happy with his role with the Raptors offense? OG, just trying to get better every day. Some games you get a bigger role. It's the same for everyone. It changes game to game. Grange if it bothered him that his name was featured fairly prominently in trade rumors leading up to the deadline. OG, no, it doesn't bother me. What can I do about it? I didn't tell anyone to do that story or say whatever. It's not my choice for whatever is going on to be going on. I can't control it, so what's the point in being mad about it? There's a full article by Michael Grange talking about all this, but that's kind of the main takeaways in the conversation that they had. And OG is obviously not a guy that's like long-winded, as we know. He's keeping his cards close to his chest, and maybe you have to read between the lines. It is what it is. Sometimes you get a bigger role, sometimes you don't. But yeah, he didn't say, I'm not happy with my role in the Raptors offense.
Yeah, but the conversation never goes away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Did like, that make you feel any way?
I don't know why at the end of last year we heard the reports, whether they're substantiated or not. But when you hear things over and over and over again, sometimes you just got to listen to the to what's you keep hearing, right?
So is that not enough like, answer for you about if OG wants to be here or not?
No, I mean, it's not. What's he going to say?
I mean, the fact that it never goes away, like you just mentioned.
I just think the public only knows so much, and the people within the organization know more, and they have to use that information and act on it now, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. either you're here or you're not. And that's going to happen in the next 10 days. But I think, again, it should kind of hinge on what OG wants. Because if it's just going to be sulking again, then you're sulking your way all the way to unrestricted free agency eventually. And then you're not getting the Donovan Mitchell package. So gauge the sulk.
And not only do you need to gauge the sulk with OG, but with the trade deadline approaching, you need to figure out what you're going to do with Fred, what you're going to do with Gary. And the fact that it's still only really OG right now in the conversation is maybe distracting, maybe not. I mean, they still haven't decided which direction they're going. And they might not decide till the end of the trip.
And Fred and Gary do have power. They have player options. They have the potential of seeing free agency. However, Precious should be sort of instructive in that you can get a quality prospect or player back in return in a sign and trade. So if you must go that route, holding on, maybe seeing through the deadline, that's not necessarily the end of the world. I think we just need to remind ourselves of that, because it's like, oh, you could like Gary Trent just kind of, you know, we kept him because we thought we were going to sign him. We couldn't. You might be able to still sign and trade and get something back decent. If you believe in Masai and believe in their process and believe in their scouting ability, it's not necessarily the end of the world if the trade doesn't materialize over the next 10 days. However, you're not getting that Donovan Mitchell package, I don't think, for OG at a different date.
I think the injury is a little bit unfortunate timing-wise. He's going to miss the rest of this road trip, but the same conversation, you know,
unless,
what OG
unless
is.
Suitors want him to be healthy and it's minor and they just
so it can
don't
go
want,
either way.
We don't want to, they want to protect
I don't think
their
they needed to
asset.
See four more games of OG to know the type of player that OG is, but
yeah,
it's significant. He's going to miss the next four games and get reevaluated in Toronto, and that's the day before the trade deadline. Something to chew on.
Brought to you by Great Canadian Meats.
So there was a second part of this about Nick Nurse's future as a Raptors head coach. Maybe we'll do that in our Something to Chew On.
Sure.
Because I want to touch on it as well. But we got to take a break because we've got the A-list on the other side. We have Luke Fox at 7. How does the Bo Horvat trade affect the Toronto Maple Leafs, because the world revolves around Toronto, of course. Vivek Jacob at 7:30. R.A. from Spit and Chicklets at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Wake and Rake. But we also have Randeep Janda joining us at 8:30. So we're pushing our Wake and Rake a little bit. So we can send those in at 590. Anyway, we'll still get to them, but we're going to have a guest that's at 8:30 as well. We want to talk to a Vancouver beat someone that knows what's going on in the pulse of that city. So he's going to come on at 8:30. So packed show today. We'll take a break. We'll do the A-list. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, it's time for the A-list. A-list. That's my name.
It's time for the A-list.
This is the A-list shower. No, throwback to that.
Are we bringing that back in the summer, by the way?
No, screw you. You're working.
Are we going to 4 hours in the summer?
I don't know. Ask our boss, Dan. Hello. Give us a heads up now.
That'd be quite the curveball if we did that.
Back to 4 hours? I don't think you could handle it.
I don't know if I could.
We're in the cushy 3 hours a day now.
Did I do a couple 4 hours? No, I didn't. When I filled in the summer,
changes your life.
I just left so you could do the
extra. Yeah, I know. All summer long, 3 hours with someone else, and then it's like,
extra little bump and pay. I would have done it. And they're like, nah, she's it's the Ailish hour.
Don't worry, Ailish will do that extra hour by herself. No problem. Don't bring that up. I shouldn't have said the Ailish.
In the summer, too.
Yikes. Oh. Yeah, when there's literally tennis and golf and Blue Jays every day, and you've just talked about the Blue Jays, and is Nate Pearson coming back? How's Kikuchi doing for 2 million games in a row?
The Kikuchi hour.
So don't bring up the Ailish hour. I shouldn't have said that by accident. Yikes.
Erase that from your memories.
Can you go back and delete that from the podcast?
Powers that be.
So our bosses don't hear. Okay. One of my favorite parts of the AHL is the Hershey Bears and their
I didn't
teddy
know you
bear
had favorite
toss.
Parts of the AHL.
That's right. It's one of the few favorite parts of the AHL. Speaking of the AHL, we will be giving tickets away to the Marlies later, though, so you got to stay tuned. It's AHL show this morning. All right, so the Hershey Bears, no stranger to having viral moments in their games, including the teddy bear toss, which is so sweet. It boosts the attendance numbers, of course. I think it's been since like 2001 they've been doing this. It's their night. It's their event. And how it usually works is after the first goal of the game against the visiting team, the Bears start flying from the ceilings, right?
Right, right, right.
Unfortunately, this past weekend on Sunday, the Bridgeport Islanders, speaking of Islanders, beat the Hershey Bears 2-0. So there was no goal scored. And fans were getting antsy. The Bears were getting hot. They needed to get onto the ice. So
everyone's clutching their bear.
There's not enough room in the stands for all the Bears. So with 5 seconds left in the game, there's a whistle, and then this happens.
It is sweet cuddly mayhem in a way that we never expected it here in Chocolate Town. The good news is all these Bears are going to go to children in need and bring them smiles. The unfortunate news is the Bridgeport Islanders celebrate a 2-0 victory unless they decide somehow this game will have to continue for 5 seconds. But at this point, that should be it tonight.
I just want anything in my life that I can describe as sweet cuddly mayhem. That might be my favorite thing I've ever heard in a hockey game.
That is a really good line.
Sweet cuddly mayhem.
I guess he's had time to work on that because they do it all the time. But that sweet cuddly mayhem is very good.
So the fans just decide, screw it, we're throwing the Bears on the ice, 5 seconds left. Obviously, they're not going to play the rest of the game, even though they debated it, because a world record was set with the amount of Bears that were thrown on the ice. Just guess. Just top of your head.
How many Bears?
How many Bears? How many Bears? Bears, Bears, ooh, go. Come on. World record.
18,500.
67,000.
Wow.
67,000 toys/bears were collected off the ice.
Okay, what happens to these bears?
They are all donated.
They're all donated?
They are all donated.
But
the arena staff were not pocketing bears, okay?
No, but how do you even house 67,000 bears? Like, how do you distribute?
The ice surface is outrageous. You got to look at these videos. It's really lovely. But sweet cuddly mayhem
is
right.
That is sweet cuddly mayhem.
67,000
sweet cuddly mayhem.
Thousand bears.
By the way, a text from one of our bosses.
I know. I just saw that.
Good reminder. Shoot. Ooh, the Ailish hour.
Yeah. They're up early listening, Justin. They don't miss a beat.
They don't miss a beat.
Good reminder.
No, God, please, no. No.
We screwed it. I'm going to be working.
I mean, I'm kind of unaffected by this.
Extra hours this summer. Yes. Thanks for that.
One slip up. One slip of the tongue. Welcome to the A-list.
Sometimes it just, maybe it
and
was
it devolves
meant
into
to be
an extra hour all summer long.
Yeah, bummer. Anyway, love the Hershey Bears and their teddy bear toss. Congratulations on their record-breaking bears. There is one bear, and if you get a chance to go look on social media, you know the human-sized bears that you have to get at big box stores?
Mm-hmm.
They're human size.
Right.
There's a video of them trying to get the bear down to the ice, and it's like a full train of arms helping, because you're not tossing that bear from the 300s. It would.
No. I mean, that's the wrong game.
Injure somebody.
That's the wrong game to have, like, on the glass tickets.
That's right. Because like, you're getting pelted by bears.
If there's 67,000 being thrown,
you're getting hit by at least 1,000.
Yeah. 1,000 are hitting you somehow. Like, it must be a war zone down there by the glass.
I think the best part you'd want to sit is mid to high 100s, where you can still show off that arm. You can rip a couple bears down
to
the ice.
You want to be where you need to have a good arm, but you have a good arm.
Yeah.
So you can hit the ice, but you're kind of protected.
You're not going to get smoked.
You're still going to be, like, getting hit in the head with bears, for sure, anywhere you are. You can be in the last row, you're getting hit with a bear somehow. But...
Or be under the awning, like how it juts out.
Is there...
I don't know. Unfortunately, I'm not able to pull up the blueprints of the arena at this moment, but I'm sure there's a protected area where you could sit if you're scared of getting hit in the head with a bear.
This summer, you can book someone in charge of the arena in Hershey.
That's right. I'll ask about what happens with the bears. But anyway, there's a video of the human-sized bear making its way down the stadium steps. Everyone helping with the bear, and then they're struggling to get it over the glass because it's heavy and the glass is high. So it's like a 4 or 5 person effort to get the bear over, eventually makes itself down to the ice. And
it really is sweet, cuddly mayhem.
And think about all the staff that get out there and have to clean up all the bears. So congratulations. Thank you for your service.
It's a labor of love.
Sure is. All right, let's take a break because we got Luke Fox on the other side. He's going to break down the Bo Horvat trade in terms of how it affects Leafs. What's next? Do the Matt Murray trust issues mean that maybe the Leafs are interested in a goaltender? Now the dominoes are falling. Is the pressure on? We'll chat with Luke Fox on the other side of the break.